good people, another episode of Everything But the Lesson Plan. And I am your host, Francesca Thompson. Today's episode, we will hear from Dr. Parkman on her journey as an educator. In a time where we're facing a nationwide teacher shortage, I thought it would be great for us to get back to sharing stories about how people in education have chose their purpose and pursued their careers. Dr. Parkman, we are excited to hear your story today, and we know that it will inspire others. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm fine, and thank you for having me.
Yes, we're excited. So I talked to some other people that I would have you on the show today. I was like, this is my friend from college. So you currently serve as a school counselor now at an elementary school, but you started your journey as a teacher, right?
Yes, I did.
So let's start there. When did you make the decision that I am going to become an educator?
Okay, well, when I first went off to college, I actually thought I was going into the medical field. Oh. So I actually majored in health promotion with intentions of going to transfer to medical school for occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. So once I started the program, I realized that I needed to get some volunteering hours in. So once I started a volunteer program, I quickly realized that I was the only college student volunteering. Mm-hmm. All the other people in the program were in high school. Their parents were in the medical field, so they were getting their hours out of the way, whereas okay. I had to try to manage maintaining a high GPA and volunteer hours. Mm-hmm. But after learning more about what it took to become an occupational therapist, I realized it really wasn't for me when they told me I was going to have to work on a corpse in medical school. So I was thinking, maybe I need to rethink this. So going back to the drawing board, I thought about speech pathology, and that was in the College of Education. So that's how I started taking classes in the Department of Education. Mm. And so I worked one summer as a summer student at Gracewood State Hospital. Mm-hmm. And after working with patients that had feeding tubes, mm-hmm. I didn't think that that was going to be a good fit for me either. But I realized I did enjoy the classes that I were taking in the Department of Education. And okay. so I decided to just stay on that track. And I reflected back to when I was in high school and I was a part of the work study program. I actually worked after school and over the summer at a daycare center. And so that's how I actually found my way into education.
Wow. Okay. So mm-hmm. I don't think I knew that you had majored in occupational therapy. So that's new. Mm-hmm. And we started at Georgia Southern together. And I majored in medical as well. What was that major?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was something with breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And
respiratory therapy.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It was so long ago because my mother, who was a dental hygienist, she was like, "You just need to do something in medical because that's where all the money is."
Exactly.
I'm like, okay, I'll do it. But then mm-hmm. once I got into the program at Georgia Southern, I don't even think I got into the program. I was just taking core classes, but I just knew that that wasn't for me. Because I think they were like, you're going to have to learn all the parts of the bone, all the bones and just all the other mm-hmm. stuff. I was like, this is not for me. So yes. you come through education as a traditional teacher, and it's very hard to find traditional teachers nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Education, and we should have turned that off, but everything, stuff happens.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people come into education as a second career. And so what did you major in?
I majored in early childhood education.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you finished up 4 years and then you started in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like for you?
I actually taught for 4 years in the classroom, and during my first year, I just realized that a lot of my students just came to school with a lot of extra baggage that mm-hmm. Affected them from being successful in the classroom. And it's kind of hard for a student to focus on academics when they're hungry or been up all night in a home where there's just a lot of arguing and just not a lot of nurturing and focusing on education. And so just working with my students to try to help them overcome the issues that they were struggling with outside of the classroom, it just made me be aware that, before you can address academics, you've got to address the emotional side of the child. So that's how I ended up majoring in counseling.
Okay, so how long were you a teacher before you decided, hey, I need to go back to school for counseling?
I enrolled in the counseling program the summer after my first year of teaching.
Oh, after
So
your
it
first
was
year.
soon.
It was okay, good, good, good. And
Yeah.
so you saw that you could make a you wanted to make a bigger impact on the counseling side, right? And so after you went to school for counseling. How long did that take?
About 3 years.
3 years. And then you became a counselor. And then what, how has that been going for you?
I really enjoy working as a counselor, and I think I have found my way of being able to not only just work with kids and help them develop plans to help them be successful at school and just in life in general, but being able to bridge the gap as well and still kind of have my hands in some stuff dealing with academics as well.
Okay. And how long have you been a counselor?
19 years.
Wow.
Yes, 19 years. And this is my 23rd year in education.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I came in education a little later than you. I worked in corporate first and then decided to so I'm not a traditional teacher, but I definitely have enjoyed transitioning from the corporate world to the education world and just working with our students. So your transition from in classroom teacher to counselor was kind of quick. So did you have any mentors at that time?
I had mentors as far as like when I first started teaching. I really worked with an awesome group of teachers. It was a total of four of us on our team. And the older ladies, they were near the end of their career. So they kind of just brought me on, but we were a good fit for each other because I was fresh out of college, had a lot of great ideas, ready to change the world. Again, coming with new strategies out of college. So I was able to share those strategies that I had learned with them, and they were able to share their experiences with me. So we were a really good team. And I actually was the teacher of the year after my 3rd year in the
Wow,
classroom.
that's great. That is great. And so that then after you went and got your degree in counseling, you went back to school.
Yeah, went back to school. I ended up getting my specialist in educational leadership from Cambridge. And just kind of I was already on the roll, had another teacher at my school that was in the program. So I was like, well, why not? And so once I finished my specialist degree, I actually finished my coursework for my specialist on a Thursday. And I got married that following Saturday. And I'm thinking,
Wow.
I've really lost my mind to have that much on my plate at one time.
Yes.
And then, my first year being married, I found out that South Carolina State had a cohort in the community that I lived in. And they were offering classes at the local high school 2 nights out the week. And then we would have to go on campus in Orangeburg, South Carolina, twice a month. So I enrolled with the encouragement of my mother
Oh.
and enrolled and got my doctorate degree. And I always tell her that's her degree because I never in a million years would have imagined that I would have stayed in school that long to earn a doctorate degree. But
Yeah,
that was for her.
that was for her. Oh,
Yes.
I'm sure she loves all of that.
Yes.
So, your journey, what was your journey like as you were working full time and you were in school?
Well, for me, it was challenging, but it was just what I had to do.
Yeah.
At that time, my husband worked night shifts. So I kind of tried to balance when I was doing my schoolwork more so when he wasn't home. And he usually worked like 2 weekends out of the month. So 2 weekends I had to go to class. And then the other 2 weekends when I was at home and if he was working, I would just get up, like I was going to work because I had a job to do and I was just writing. And I actually ended up becoming pregnant my last year working on my doctorate. So it was like, I definitely need to finish. So, it was definitely a busy time for me, but that was just a large part of my life at that time. And it's what I had to do. And I had a goal. So I just stayed the course and I finished.
You
So,
finish. That's what matters.
yes, that's the
Well,
main thing.
you do a big project for your, I want to say it's your district, called Red Robin, I mean Red Ribbon Week, right? So
Yes.
please explain what that is and what you
Okay,
do.
well, Red Ribbon Week is a national week where we encourage students to be drug-free. And a lot of schools participate in it. It's like the last week in October. And it was started by Nancy Reagan, actually. And so, it was just something that to kind of have a spirit week to get the kids excited, to bring the parents in, to just make it one of those memorable times for our students and their families. And we just were accustomed to doing so many big things at our school. We've had parades, and we've had the Corvette Club and the Shriners and all that at the schools, and block off the street and invite the superintendent to come. And then we've also had former professional athletes that were from the Augusta area to come and support us as well. One year we had William Avery. He's a former Duke and Minnesota Timberwolves star. And I actually went to high school with him, so he came out and supported. And then there was one year, again, being that we have done so much at our school and just trying to combine other schools that were in our cluster. They wanted us to do something district-wide. And so all the schools in our district participated, and we actually marched from the Board of Education down to the riverfront area, and we had a huge rally. And we had Devin Harris, who's a drug and gang specialist, speak to the students, and also Dion Grant, who is a Super Bowl champion from the Augusta area. He also spoke with the students. And shared his story about growing up with a father who is now incarcerated for selling drugs, and how he really made it is his business, I would say, to not follow his father's footsteps. So we've done a lot with that, and all the schools, like I say, came out, the cheerleaders, the band was there, and it was just a great time, again, just trying to encourage children to live a drug-free life. And we provided resources to families, whether that be counseling services, extracurricular activities, just had a lot of different people from the community there providing resources to parents and students alike.
Yeah, that's good. And you're going to continue to do that for your district, right?
Yeah, we've actually won first place in the state of Georgia in the governor's Red Ribbon Campaign Contest for the past 7 years. So
Wow.
I've been called the Red Ribbon Queen. And
Yeah.
so it's just one of those things that just kind of started at my school and just grew and got bigger and bigger. And like this past year, we actually we've had Brian Jordan, former Atlanta Falcon and Atlanta Braves star. He's been coming to our school for the past 3 years to help us, and he's brought his reading challenge and challenged our students to read. And we would call that day Hooked on Books, Not Drugs. And our reading scores went up due to students increasing the amount of time that they were reading, that this past year that our district actually adopted that program for all elementary schools in our district. So we are very proud to be able to lead the way with that and be the school that brought him to our school. And we also received a grant from Georgia Power. So for the next 3 years, we'll get $15,000 each year for a garden that we have started. And our garden was named in honor of one of our former custodians that passed, and a former CTAE teacher or director that was in our district that passed and that was working with us on this project. And so we have a robotic garden where we have a robot that is tending to one garden bed, and then we have three additional manual beds. So that was a big thing this year where the superintendent and his cabinet came out and helped us celebrate the first planting day in our garden for this particular year.
So y'all are a model school. Definitely a model school in your program that you've built with Red Ribbon Week is definitely a model program. So I'll put some of that in the show notes as well for people to see, and maybe they want to reach out and maybe have something like that at their school, and they can get some advice from you. So speaking of advice, if you think about your impact, and I would even say go all the way back to where you started to where you are now, and you want to say something to a teacher and just give them some advice, what is something you would think is very important for them to know right now?
I would just say, you definitely want to work smarter and not harder. I think a lot of times people feel like they have to be in this alone, and you don't. We know that we have a lot of non-traditional teachers now that are coming in, and they're going to need, more support than a first-year traditional teacher. And we recognize that, and we need teachers in our classroom. So we want to be able to retain teachers. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Find a mentor, someone that you can learn and grow from, and just be open to trying new things. I know a lot of things that I've gotten into, it's been just that I was asked, and you've got to get out your comfort zone in order to grow. And so I would just, again, just encourage them to get with someone that can help them so that they're not reinventing the wheel. Sometimes we invent things by error, and that's a great thing. But if you're doing something that's already been done and someone may be doing it better than you, there's nothing wrong with learning from that to just try to become better at your craft yourself.
And I just think that's very important. There's a lot of different examples out there for people to use. And so I always, my saying is admire, acquire, tweak it a little bit, and give people their credit where the credit is due. But like you said, don't reinvent the wheel each and every time.
Exactly, because you can become overwhelmed because that's a lot, not only just with teaching, but again, students come in with their baggage that they're bringing from home. And I think a lot of times, especially at the elementary level, people think that all the students are just so cute and sweet, and then they realize that, they're little people and they have their little attitudes too. But I feel like if you can really build relationships with your students and try to figure out what angle they're coming from, and you can meet them where they are, you're going to be much more successful with working with them and trying to get them where they need to be.
What's next for you?
Well, I just recently realized, hey, it's year 23 and 30 years to be here before I know it. So I'm open to growing in a different direction. My doctorate is in leadership. So I'm considering getting out of my comfort zone and trying to grow a little bit myself. I would like to ultimately probably end up in a board position, kind of helping with school climate or helping students find the relevance in school for them with exploring careers. But I'm open to an administrative position at a school level as well, if that's going to, help me reach my ultimate goal of being able to reach schools and children at the masses.
Oh, wow. That's good. That's good to know. Well, I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for volunteering your time and your knowledge to improve the lives of so many teachers. This episode is really about telling a story, and we heard your story today, Dr. Partment. The stories are good to help connect people, to just let people know that everything can be okay, especially in this industry. We don't know who is going to listen, but somebody is, and what you said will connect with them. So please don't forget, for my listeners, there'll be a poll question. Answer the poll, like, vote, and share this episode. I'm going to have Dr. Parkman's information in the show notes if you want to get in touch with her to find out how to do that model program or even the cool robotics garden that she has. Those things are awesome. Any last words you want to say?
No, just thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share my story. And I hope that it's going to encourage someone in this field. I love education, and definitely want to be able to encourage other people because I know it can get difficult sometimes, that we have to be supportive of each other.
That's right. It's a community. Well, that's it for our show tonight, guys. Everybody just keep thriving, keep thriving. We're almost to holiday break, so that's really good. Good night.